This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso, also a practicing physician. He's also part of the new Second Opinion effort, which is pointing out the mistakes that the Democratic-led healthcare reform effort has made as more information is revealed about what exactly is in the legislation and what impact it would have on Americans in all walks of life. And Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
Well, one of the things that we, of course, heard during the healthcare debate was a wide variety of debate about what's in the bill, what's not in the bill, what it actually would accomplish. And the White House was very quick to say at every turn, if you like your current plan or you like your current doctor, that won't change, but it's going to be deficit friendly. It's going to be great for small businesses. And at each turn here, it seems that the facts aren't exactly what was promised back then. The latest that seems to have come out here is related to small businesses. What have we learned about which small businesses qualify and just what the impact would be?
Well, there's a new Associated Press story out, Greg, that talks about a small businessman who thought he was going to get some tax benefits because he has 24 employees and they make an average of only $35,000 a year because that's what has been promised, that they'd get some tax breaks. Well, it turns out if he wants the tax breaks, he has to actually fire employees and lower their salaries. So at a time when we're looking at almost 10% unemployment in the country, I mean, what kind of incentive is that to give a small business person to lower salaries and fire people? But yet that's what the reality of this health care bill is. It's going to, in so many ways, work against the patients, the people that need health care, work against the providers, the nurses and doctors who take care of them, and work against the payers. The taxpayers are going to be footing the bill.
And what would be the impact on the business owner if he just keeps the status quo? He may not get the breaks, but what would he be looking at?
Well, he won't get the tax breaks that he feels that he was promised by the president. Plus, the incentives are there to not hire anyone else and to not raise anyone's salary. And if you're a small business owner, and we know that small businesses are the engine that drives our economy, that's where 70% of the jobs in this country come from, small businesses, you'd be very reluctant to add new people to the roles of your business, even though you're trying to maybe expand your business. Because you don't know what's really coming down the line from Washington. You feel that you've been promised some tax relief. You're not going to get that. And you're worried about bigger penalties if you don't go and meet the government-required insurance that's going to be mandated on all of those people that do the hiring.
Senator, you're clearly not happy about this, but you don't sound all that surprised. What did you notice in the legislation before it was passed that suggested this might happen?
Well, Susan Collins and I actually did a colloquy on the floor of the Senate back in December that talked specifically about what they were promising in the bill, but what the real impact was going to be on small businesses and the penalties that small businesses would realize if they went from 10 employees up to 11 and if they raised salaries at all above $25,000 a year. So this was something that we saw coming, and the Democrats on the floor of the Senate who were just desperate to pass anything, ignored the whole thing, ignored the discussion, and just, you know, they had their buying of votes and the Cornhusker kickback and the Gatorade and the Louisiana purchase, anything to get to the minimum number of votes that they needed, and really couldn't care less what was in the bill. To me, this bill is going to raise the cost, and this is why so many Americans are unhappy and a majority of Americans are opposed to this law. It's because they realize the cost of their own care is going to go up, and the quality and availability of their own care is going to get worse.
I know that one of your colleagues, Senator Hatch, has also come out in the last few days, and he was mentioning this during the actual debate as well, about the cost for states, especially as it relates to adding people to existing Medicaid roles. You represent one of the least populated states in the country, but what would be the impact in your state if, in fact, the states are forced to pick up half of these new people added to the roles?
Well, there is a huge unfunded mandate on the states, which was a big part of the discussion. There was a story in today's Wall Street Journal about people, patients on Medicaid and special needs that they have, and how much more difficult it's going to be for them to get care. And we know that half of doctors in the country don't take care of Medicaid patients because the reimbursement rates are so low. And yet the president is going to cram another 18 million Americans onto this program that doesn't work very well. So it just shows how really little disregard for the American people the president has had in cramming this bill down the throats of Congress and down the throats of the American people, all in an effort because of his desperation to try to get something passed, and the American people have not been fooled.
We're speaking with Wyoming Senator and Dr. John Barrasso. And, sir, you are now part of an effort called Second Opinion, which is obviously something folks know a lot about when they're trying to get an accurate diagnosis. But what's the political aim of Second Opinion?
Well, as we've talked, it is astonishing that even more frequently than once a week, and I'm going to the Senate floor once a week to give my second opinion about the health care bill and bring to the American people, to their attention, what has happened within the last week that has now come out along the lines of Nancy Pelosi saying you have to pass it before you get to find out what's in it. So I'm going to share information each week, and every week many things come out, much to the disappointment and disgust of the American people. And I'm going to continue to do that all the way through the election, beyond that, because this is going to roll out and change health care over the next 10 years in a way that I think is bad for our patients, bad for our providers, and bad for the people that are going to pay for the care. And we need to actually repeal this health care bill and replace it with solutions that work, like allowing people to buy insurance across state lines and giving individual incentives for people who stay healthy, and that help them keep down the cost of their care, do things in terms of dealing with abusive lawsuits, allowing small businesses to join together, and helping people who buy their own health insurance personally to get the same tax benefits that the large companies get.
Senator, is there any particular issue that you sense coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks? As I mentioned, we've seen estimates from the Congressional Budget Office, the President's own Department of Health and Human Services, about how this will actually add to the deficits. We've seen how folks may not be able to keep the care that they've enjoyed for years. What other things might be in the offing here?
Well, plus Medicare is, they're going to cut $500 billion from Medicare, and not to help save Medicare, which we know is going broke in 2017, but to start a whole new government program. And what we've also seen in today's, in the USA Today story about emergency rooms, you know, so many of the things that the president said about emergency rooms were just fundamentally wrong. We are going to see waiting lines get worse. And now we have the president who's made his nomination to be head of the Medicare and Medicaid services in the country, Dr. Berwick from Boston. You know, he has said, hey, we're going to ration care. And you're going to be looking at those hearings and those discussions, because he was actually knighted in Britain. He's because of his love of the National Health Service in Britain.
Well, Senator Barrasso, as we've said, a lot of different revelations coming to light in just the last couple of months since this was passed. Thanks for your time today, sir.
Thank you, Greg.
Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, also a practicing physician. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.